Good.
There's nothing like hearing your own voice on a recording for the first time or like in front of people. But, and you know, it's stuff like this, like you always get nerves. You always get nervous. Like it's like,
it almost seems like it doesn't ever get better. Maybe you just get more used to it. But y'all are my family. And so, any nerves are just out of my own self. And so I love you guys. And I'm glad we have the small group we have here. So it really feels like more of a devotional. So that's good. Really quick, before I get into it, I requested, I'm thankful that Brother Bill let us in that song. I love that song, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain." I just want to read this first verse because it sort of applies with what I'm going to share. So I'll just read it. It says, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? ? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Because of our sin, he died on that cross. Because of us, he had to pour himself out. But he loved us so much that he made a way for us to have communion with him again." And so the main passage we'll be looking at is in Romans chapter 5. I would really like to look at the whole chapter, but we can't. Doug told me to keep this to 10 to 15 minutes, so if y'all want to start a timer and just, you know, shout at me when it's time to be quiet, that's fine. Because there is a lot here, but I will try to keep it to that time frame with what I've got. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll pray and we'll get into it. Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you and I am so small before you and insignificant, and without you, Lord, I'm nothing. The only thing good about me is Christ, and you love me so much that in my filth, you forgave me of my sins. You brought me to yourself, and you loved me enough to forgive me, to make a way for me to know you and live my life for you and with you in eternity. And I just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your word and this letter that Paul wrote. And just the, I pray that I'd be convicted first and foremost here, Lord, and that what you have in your word will be a blessing here to my church. And that you'd be in this. Remove me, Lord. Get me out of the way. And may your Holy Spirit be here and guide and be in control. I pray these things in your holy name. Thanking you for this church service this evening. Amen. So Romans chapter 5, I wanted to go 1 through 11 to kind of give you a little bit bigger picture. I'd do the whole chapter, but then I'd lose track and we'd get on to all of it and we'd be here for 2 hours. So looking at that, I would like to zoom in a little bit, though, even more between verses 6 to 11. So verses 6 to 11. So rereading verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength," meaning when we were weak, without strength, before Christ, "in due time," or at the appointed time, or at the proper time, "Christ died for the ungodly." Looking at verse 7, I have here 7a, the first half of verse 7. You'll notice this, the little colon there after the word "die." So I'm just calling before that is a here. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." So it just brings to mind, well, what about righteous men? And so there's two trains of thought here. What he's saying is, people hardly die for good people, let alone for somebody they hate. People would you know, perhaps die for somebody who was really good, but even that's kind of unheard of. That's what he's getting at. But I'm going to focus on here, well, what about the righteous and what about the good men? And just look into them just a little bit to see if we can find any here in the Bible, or anywhere in the world does the Bible say there are any. So, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. So again, for the righteous men would one die. Let's find some righteous men here, hopefully. Romans 3, 10 through 11. And you guys ever heard somebody say, when you're sharing the gospel, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved? That's kind of what we're doing here today. So, verse 10, Romans 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Well, that's pretty grim. So immediately off the bat, nobody's righteous. And nobody seeks after God. Well, what that brings to my mind is, well, then does anybody seek after God? Leads me to John chapter 6, verse 44. So we know that nobody's righteous. We know that nobody in their flesh and of themselves seek after God. Well, how then do we come to know Him? Thankfully, John gives us a little context here, a little information on that. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Okay, so God has to do the work in our hearts to bring us to Him. We don't do it even of our own selves. We're not righteous. We're not good. So going back to our passage here in Romans 5, looking at verse 7b after the colon there, where it says, yet peradventure, or perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. So doing the same thing there with the good man, like we did with the righteous man, let's go see, are there any good men? I'm sure you can guess the answer to this, but we're going to look at a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. On our way over here, Alexis gave me these great little tabs, and so I don't have to spend 10 minutes trying to find Ecclesiastes. Sometimes there's books in my Bible that just aren't there. I don't know if that ever happens to y'all, like Philippians, you know. Jonah, sometimes my Bible just doesn't have that book, so I give up trying to find it during a message, you know. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. For there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Everybody sinned, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's no just man, there are no good men. Again, we're getting lost here. We're painting the picture of what people are before Christ. So everybody's a sinner, and nobody is really good. I've got a question written here. What is or what was our relationship and standing before accepting Christ? Where did we stand before Christ, before salvation? What was it going to lead to? Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 36 to give a little answer to that. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. Yes, ma'am. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't know about you, but when I read the wrath of God abideth on him, that's intimidating, kind of fearful there. The wrath of God. Well, what's the wrath of God? It's His punishment for sin. He is loving, He is holy, He is just and righteous. He is righteous, but He is also just, and He has to punish sin. He's an eternal God who is perfectly good and righteous. There has to be a punishment for sin. So, those people who don't believe on Him, who reject Him, God's wrath abides on them. So again, to reiterate where we're at here, looking at verse 7, pre-salvation, we're unrighteous, we're God's enemies before salvation. His wrath abides on us, which we talked about this morning. Brother Doug shared about that a little bit. We don't even seek after Him. We don't have peace with Him, and we're sinners, and we're condemned to hell. Rightly so. So with all this in mind, I want to look at verse 8, and I'm going to read 8 through 10 here. Back to Romans 5, verse 8. But God, which is so great, because there's so many places in the Bible where it says, but God, and usually what comes after that is hope, and something great. It says here, this is one of my favorite ones, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath." There's that wrath again. "Through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So God commendeth His love toward us." He imputed His love toward us. He loved us while we were yet sinners. So what I just said, we're enemies, we're against Him. His wrath is on us. We could not be more against Him, is when He said, "Okay, I've died for you in that. In your filth, in your sin, at the most deserving of hell, is when I've died for you and paid for your sins." So the idea that I need to fix my life up, I need to stop cussing, I need to stop drinking before I can be a Christian is just not true. Because all of those things, no matter what, you're a sinner. And the smallest to biggest sin equally separates you from God, because the punishment for sin is death. And death, ultimately in hell, is separation from God. So to have communion with Him again, to have peace with Him again, you have to believe on His Son. You have to repent of your sins and receive salvation. And He gave that to us. He loved us so much that when we were against Him, He died for us. And so that makes me think, how many people am I just like the world, in that when people are against me, it's easy to give in to just be hateful, you know? And this is sort of a rabbit trail from this for just a second, but people that are even just spiteful or attitudinal towards me at work or wherever it is, cutting me off in traffic, or how easily do I get into my flesh? "Oh, you're horrible," you know? And I let these evil thoughts go through my mind, and sometimes say them out loud, you know, if I'm alone, and I need to repent of that. It's bad, you know? Road rage is a real sin in my life. And we laugh about it, but man, that's a heart problem. But you know, even things I deal with at work, evil people. And I think, well, you know, you weren't much different. You were as equally deserving as they are of the wrath of God. And the only difference is you've received Christ. So if Christ was willing to love you, you need to be willing to love that person if you're to be like Christ. And you need to share the gospel with them. Moving on here. I've got written, the time for salvation is right now. So he's already paid. He's already paid the way. There's no reason to wait. The time for salvation is right now if you don't know the Lord. Moving on. We've read verses 8 through 10. I've said that God loves us so much that He did this at the point we were most against Him. So the only thing I would say in closing is what I said. But to just keep in mind that when we were our ugliest is when He decided to love us the most. God is love, and He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish under that wrath, but would have a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. So if Christ can love us at our worst, and we're to be like Christ, then we can love others with their attitudes. So thank you, guys.